top of the news this evening is speculation concerning the real facts behind the Department of Health announcement about a radioactive spill supposed to have occurred yesterday at the state nuclear plant.
You will die only to live again in a younger body. Then you can tell me if the operation was a success. I could easily kill you now, but I'm determined to have your brain.
You're listening to the Really Awful Movies Podcast, a celebration of genre cinema. Hi, my name is Chris, and along with Jeff, we talk about movies that aren't really awful at all. Horror, action, kung fu, musicals, post-apocalyptic, women in prison films, and much, much more.
So here we are, on a barge for one crazy weekend of fun and laughter.
Oh, I missed you.
Oh, I love that out here. Makes me feel so alive.
Steered one of these beauties before, have you?
Yeah.
Well, any trouble, give me a call.
Trouble? It's going to be a great weekend. I can feel it.
I'd get in your barge and go back the way you came if I was you.
From our downtown Toronto headquarters, here's episode 388 of the Really Awful Movies Podcast. Daughters of Darkness and The Barge People. It just goes to show the sheer variety of the horror space that two such incredibly disparate, different, and divergent properties could possibly be made and still come under the umbrella, under the rubric of horror. I mean, it just really beggars belief. It's really astounding. I think we should probably start with The Barge People, because that's very, very quirky and very odd and very unique, and it sort of falls along the lines of the regional horrors that we've been covering and have covered actually on the podcast, whether that includes Offerings, Mountaintop Motel Massacre, Hayride, Unhinged, these kind of small little quirky productions. This time, however, we're going to the UK. And I think the remake of Unhinged was actually a UK production as well. And of course, that one was kind of a fun one that was lensed in Oregon. But for those who are unaware, I mean, the UK is dotted with canals of all stripes, and they've been extant since Roman times. And I kind of clued into this film through, of all things, going down weird wormholes on YouTube when the pandemic began. Specifically, this odd type of travel vlog series that included people who were like sailing around the world and that kind of thing. And I guess under protracted lockdowns and just basically stuck here with a toddler and unable to really venture out, not even to the local mall in some cases, which was shuttered for a long time, and having your only avenues entertainment-wise being like walk up to window coffee establishments and grocery stores and pharmacies. It was really limiting, and I really expanded the scope of where at least virtually I could travel, and that included people who were sailing around the world. And it's pretty funny, of course, being I'm a total guy, a dyed in the wool. One such video I believe involved, I wish I could shout them out properly, but there's some woman in a bikini, and of course I clicked on that, and some young couple, I think European or something, and they were sailing around. And at some point, I think they were navigating the canals of Europe and venturing from, I think, Central Europe all the way to the Benelux countries in the north, and maybe even crisscrossing to England. And again, there's a wealth of canal systems and locks, and I would see them navigate these tiny little waterways and these thoroughfares that are really very, it just seemed like something that wouldn't be entirely overly appealing. I remember as a kid, my parents would take me around Ontario and we would see the lock systems. But the difference being, Ontario has this vast network of massive, massive lakes. I mean, Lake Ontario alone is 300 kilometers across. And there's tons, thousands upon thousands of lakes and waterways. And it just seems like somewhere in England, it would just be too small a scale to be really enjoyable. But it seems to me that some of these canals are only maybe 20 feet wide, and that would seem somewhat quaint when you're talking about, let's say, floating down the river in a barge through or past, I guess, a nice medieval town, as you would maybe in France or I guess parts of the UK as well. But it just doesn't seem like something that would be overly appealing. Anyway, it is apparently a cultural phenomenon where people have these barges and they actually navigate them. And the steerage, it should be said, is quite basic. So you have this lever in the back of these vessels, and they can be like 20 or 30 feet long, and you just sort of move it side to side just to avoid other vessels. It is very, very strange. It looks kind of quaint, kind of fun, but also kind of goofy. And the principals and the barge people, they comprise two couples, one of whom is kind of this douchey London banker type who wears this ridiculous yellow sweater tied around his neck as is par for the course to signify or connote being a total and utter douchebag, so that or rich guy or whatever. And he does not take kindly to floating down these tepid waterways and doesn't see how this is a fun way to spend one's weekend. His girlfriend thinks otherwise, and they connect with another couple, and I think they rent this boat, and you get a sense of this kind of experience being in this rather flat barge style boat. So much of this takes place in the vessel, but also their stops, their pit stops, because of course they have to navigate locks, and there are towns along the way, and they could stop for supplies and to replenish their stock of drinks, and they drink heavily. But the barge people in question are, they kind of remind me of a little bit of the creature from the Black Lagoon in a weird kind of way, or Swamp Thing, or maybe even humanoids from the deep. They've got that kind of cheap and cheerful aesthetic to them, and so these people apparently populate the bridges and the swamps and this canal systems. Like, geez, the last time I saw a movie featuring a canal, I think it might have been Amsterdam, or maybe the movie The Canal. But yeah, it's kind of funny. I mean, you always associate canals. Like when I think of it, I cast my mind back to Amsterdam and or Venice or something, and it's always really very beautiful and very quaint and very gorgeous. But this one seems very rustic and very rural. And the principals, you know, this film invests a lot in these people. And I think they're quite nicely counterbalanced. So you have on the one hand the freewheeling, devil-may-care, I guess easygoing wayfinder who takes the helm or takes the captain responsibilities, and he's the one character, and then he's pitted against this very high-strung A-type banker guy who's just constantly on his phone, and you can almost relate to a type of person who would be that way, who'd be eschewing all sense of wonder and relaxation in favor of the goings-on at home, and who can't, and it seems perpetually tethered to the office. And as things proceed, you get they have a little backstory of the barge people in question who are cannibals living, you know, under these bridges, almost like these gnome sort of dwarf characters in a way. And it almost reminded me of this Canadian horror called End of the Line, which featured very, very similarly depicted and positioned creatures. Almost like The Hills Have Eyes in a way, but in the case of End of the Line, they were actually subterranean monsters and inhabiting the, I think it was meant to be the New York subway system, but it was probably Toronto. Could have been Montreal. It's been a while since I've seen that movie. But yeah, so you have this kind of weird setup, and if nothing else, it takes you to a completely different realm. I mean, who would ever give a moment's thought to drifting down a canal system in the UK? You just don't. And there's some fun scenes. We're going to segue into what we learned for this movie, but there's they encounter some ornery folks who actually live on the canal and have this house be, or have this boat be a houseboat, as we understand them in North America. And The douchey guy, I guess, runs into them because he doesn't take his captaining duties too seriously, and they later meet in this pub. It almost reminds me of an American Werewolf in London, where it's got this really, really nice, rustic, scenic, rural, pastoral pub, and then the denizens collect there and gather there, and then there's the publican is actually this very stern woman with a shotgun who chases off the antagonist. So that's pretty funny and pretty cool. And you get this dynamic again between the traveling parties and the acrimony between them, but also the tension between them and this. I think they're Liverpudlians that they meet, because one guy refers to them as Scouse bastards or something, and Scouse is a term for someone from Liverpool, derogatory. I think it's derogatory. So you have this tension between after this boating accident, and then you have this, they run out of food, they end up in the pub, and then you have this series of murders that take place near the canal. And it's quite well depicted in the opening credits, where it's very stark and very austere. This is a very, very low budget film, but I think it's a pretty cool idea to base a horror around. And yes, it's kind of derivative, because these creatures are ones you've seen before, dating all the way back to the 50s. They're kind of corny, they're kind of amphibious, they're kind of cheesy, they're kind of plastic, but it's all in good fun, right? And I think this movie does make really good use of the setting, because there's some quite lovely scenes of the setting sun and these quaint boats, and it's not bad. It has some merit, and yes, it's a little bit corny. Another thing I learned is that the writer and executive producer has my name, except minus one vowel. So the writer and executive producer is Christopher Lombard. And when it was scrolling, I was like, holy shit, this is almost my doppelganger, but not quite, off by a little bit. The director has done other low budget UK efforts. I forget his name. I think Chris Steeds or something. And he shows a few directorial touches here. And there's some, this is a nice lean runtime of an hour and 20 minutes. And it's something very unique and very quirky, and obviously this is a cheap and cheerful effort. Now, and as Monty Python would say, and now for something completely different. Daughters of Darkness is very, 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 very different. We take you to another continent, if you want to say that. I mean, Brits always think they're not part of Europe, but this is a Belgian erotic horror, and you go, what? directed by Harry Kumel, and it's really, really plodding and really, really, it's really lush and really fulsome in its visuals, because this is palatial, and it ventures into Bruges, which is a gorgeous part of Belgium that I had the pleasure of visiting. It's just basically everywhere you look, there's a chocolatier or a purveyor of excellent, I mean, it's one of the world's best beer-making regions. So everywhere you went, it's just one of the most gorgeous, I think maybe the most beautiful medieval town preserved I've ever seen in my life, even besting, I think, some places in Italy or Germany, but just so stunning. And this is a vampire flick, and it has this scion of an aristocratic family named Stefan. He was a newlywed, and his wife, they're the Chiltons, and they venture into this grand hotel, and they check in, and they're the only denizens of this place because it's off season in Ostend, which is a seafaring. It's not too far from the channel to England, where Stefan wants to bring his newly betrothed over to meet his mother, and they just basically spend their time just lolling around this gorgeous palatial hotel, and it's really, really beautiful. And then it's when nightfall happens, this mysterious, enigmatic Countess Bathory arrives with a secretary, quote unquote, so her equivalent of a manservant, but really a female servant, with whom she has a lesbian relationship. Her name is Ilona, and she is this I guess, ingenue type. And she's got her hair done up and she's very glamorous. And the concierge notes that he, and he never forgets a face, but the concierge notes that he seems to have seen this woman before. And again, given this is a vampire flick, Daughters of Darkness, I mean, this is a woman who doesn't age and she's hundreds of years old and is based on Hungarian Countess Elizabeth Bathory. And against this backdrop, there's these murders that have been taking place of children in the neighboring Bruges. And all this is going on where you have these newlyweds and this sprawling, just gorgeous, beautiful setting. And then this these newcomers coming in, including this ingenue and her lady servant. And you just have this dynamic of Ilona seducing Stefan, and Stefan, who it turns out is compelled by compulsion to vampirism, and who gets turned on when he happens upon a crime scene for one of the local murders, and he's trying to keep himself in check with his newlywed bride Valerie, and when he's finally overcome with feelings, he beats Valerie, and they have, there's S&M in this film, and this is a very, very interesting, very beautiful to look at 1971 effort. And I believe Camille Paglia had really nice things to say about how it's it represents sort of a high gothic tone, and it's a very classic retelling of the vampire aesthetic. And lesbian vampires as a subgenre, like they had their day, or night, I guess you could say, in the 70s. So this belongs firmly in that camp. And I use the word camp here. It has some Joan Crawford kind of campiness. But overall, I mean, this is just so splendid and so rich and resplendent and wonderful visuals. And you just don't mind the runtime. It is very, very meandering. There's lots of chatter. There's talk about how the Bathory character put 300 virgins to death, and at one point she corrects her, and this is another thing I learned, says it was actually 800. And this is really, really fun stuff, directed by Harry Kumel, and starring Delphine Seyrig, a French actress. Just everyone in it, everything in it is just so rich and so fun and so glorious. You have these two films, I mean, The Barge People, Daughters of Darkness, spanning 40-something years with completely different regions, very different locales, very different plots, very different setups, very different approach to filmmaking, and just showing how how resplendent and fulsome the horror genre is, and both so utterly enjoyable. Daughters of Darkness, a 4-star effort for me, 2.5 maybe for The Barge People. Quirky, low budget, indie gutsy filmmaking, if you want to call it that. Anyway, hope you've been enjoying the podcast, and pick up a few copies of our books if you can, our nonfiction film books, to help keep the show floating, as it were. And we'll talk to you soon. Take care. Thank you.